Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers, go to the ESPN app. You can download the podcast. You had something to say, Key?
I'm getting the Max Kellerman going.
Drink some water.
I got it going.
What I was going to say is that would be very interesting if I sat at the game with Aaron Rodgers. We could have a really deep conversation. We could, Jay. It would be fascinating.
I think it would be a conversation
with him in a box, because I won't be sitting in the stands if I'm going to the game.
You're just trying to get into a box? Just
call flex.
Just go on the Pat McAfee show. There you go. Have a conversation with him right there.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
Every week now we wait for his appearance on the Pat McAfee show, as though he has a vested interest in that show, because then he waits for that show to create some kind of controversy.
He knows that Max Kellerman is going to be sitting outside the door with a camera and a notepad.
Feed us.
Aaron Rodgers burped. What does it mean?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So we're going to get back to Steph Curry's record-breaking night at Madison Square Garden in 30 minutes with Nick Friedel, our ESPN Warriors reporter who's covered Steph for years. He'll be here in studio, and we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but some breaking news, guys, from Kimberly A. Martin. More and more every day we're hearing about it. This time, Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski has tested positive. He recently disclosed for COVID-19. He recently disclosed that he's gotten the booster. Still a chance he's back for Saturday's game versus the Raiders. Remember, Stefanski tested positive and missed a playoff game last year. So there you have it. We got NBA games postponed, NHL games postponed, NFL teams missing coaches and players.
Key, can you help me out with something? I'm just a little, just real quick. What if you're vaccinated, then there really I can't help you. As soon as I start to ask, I'm like, never mind.
I can't help you. I just do what they ask me to do, or they tell me to do, so I can stay healthy and make sure that everybody else has an opportunity to stay healthy. I'm not educated enough to help explain to you the COVID vaccination protocols and how it works, because it seems like it changes every day.
No, you're right. I just know, Max, that one of the issues they're having in the league is that players who are vaccinated, obviously players who are unvaccinated, have to go through daily testing, right? And players, if you're not vaccinated, you go through testing every several days. So now that players who are vaccinated are still catching COVID, Kevin Stefanski, prime example, on the football side, you know, but if you're not testing that all the time, he's been around players, things of that sort, that's where you get these outbreaks. So you might see leagues transition back to testing everybody, all players, on a day-to-day basis, just to make sure to cover their tracks. You have to.
Right. So it's – which is also doesn't make an incentive for players to get vaccinated, although the NBA has a 97% vaccination rate, which is much higher than the general population.
And what's so wild – about the NFL, a lot of the players that are contracting COVID are vaccinated.
Yes.
that's the wild part of it. I don't know the exact percentage. Like the NBA is in the high 90s. The NFL is high as well. They're not low, but players continue to contract it even though they're vaccinated.
And Keith, with the Bulls have 100% vaccination rate. 100%.
And there are teams that have 100% as well in the NFL.
That's why I go back to it. I know, look, misleading by Aaron, but when Aaron did say, hey, look, I was like, you know, some guys are being tested every single day. So you know what it is. Like, if you contract it, you know, hey, look, okay, I didn't have it yesterday, but today I had it. Like, what's that time frame? But when you're not testing at that degree, it makes it difficult to pinpoint.
Yeah, I mean, like, the reporting has been that vaccinated people do transmit the virus in some cases, but the data are super crystal clear. That's a quote, that the risk of transmission for vaccinated individuals is much, much lower than for unvaccinated individuals. Doesn't mean you can't get it. You can still get it.
Look, all I'm saying is this can be something that, you know, without getting into the details, that the leagues are going to have to figure out on both ends, because these COVID health and safety protocols are starting to get out of control.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, right. Because people, it's It's a lot. You got to go through every single day, and there's a certain degree of fatigue about it. The virus doesn't care about your fatigue, but there are also vaccines and there are treatments on the down in the pipeline. And everyone just of course wants things to get back to normal, some kind of normal. So we promised a discussion about Aaron Rodgers. Here is Aaron Rodgers about the moves his general manager Brian Gutekunst made to get this team into the top seed of the NFC. And listen until the end.
That's been a good year of conversation between Brian and myself. I feel like I've been involved in a lot of conversations about certain individuals on the squad and also on other squads. But we've had a lot of guys who I think were kind of outcast guys. So I think that sets an attitude in the squad of guys who are able to set aside their ego and have some sort of chip on their shoulder and have some appreciation for coming together, being a part of chemistry in the locker room. It's a good feeling coming to work every day.
So you love being a Green Bay Packer right now, yeah?
I love playing ball, man.
Oh, he's loving ball. Oh. Loving ball. This guy loving ball. I love that.
Yeah, key as Dominique Foxworth said earlier today on this program, it's not like, it's not like Pat McAfee's there to do a gotcha show with Aaron Rodgers, right? That's a softball. And Rodgers did that with it. Like, what? First of all, could I hear how you would answer that question? If you wanted, if you obviously don't want to make a big deal out of things, and I'm like, hey, so you love being in Green Bay, right? What do you say?
Yeah, I've been here 17 years, man. Of course I love it. We're winning football games. Everything's good. And, love playing with Devontae. Love my guys here. It's great. It's great to be a Packer. Our mission is to certainly get to a championship and win it. We've been to two straight NFC championship games, and hopefully we get to a third and into the Super Bowl. So I'm looking forward to that.
Jay, it doesn't seem so hard to me. What Key just did does not seem so hard to me.
But can you read the tea leaves? Do you see the message, Max? The message is just because we're winning and I'm in the MVP conversation and we're going to have a chance to win a legit Super Bowl, don't get too comfortable, Green Bay. Like, there's still pressure here. Like, there's still things that I want. And this little thing about, like, I just want to play ball, I can twist that. You asked me today, following up, but what did you mean by that? You say you didn't love, the Packers. I'm like, I never said I didn't love the
That's
Packers.
Interesting.
I just said I love football. And that is a sign to you that I am in control here.
Okay, that's interesting, Jay. This is what that triggers in my own brain, okay?
But it also allows for the germ spreaders to come back
1,000%
and revisit that conversation. So it keeps me out there in the space that I want to be in, which is you talking about me every single day on Just In.
But I
had some guy 2 to 3.
Yeah, no doubt. Great new show, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. on ESPN.
But it keeps that narrative going.
But here's the thing, Key, exactly that Jay just said, that, this is what it makes me think of. I'm thinking to myself, Dominique earlier in the show said something that's probably right. The protagonist or antagonist of this NFL season is Aaron Rodgers. He's going to make sure of it. But strategically, like in a more kind of like I'm trying to get this effect, Jay, what you just – like I'm thinking if you want to send a message to the front office, communicate it to them. Why are you doing it through the media? No, when you do it through the media, it's a message to the fans. But you're right, I think. What does make sense is when you send that message to the fans, they put the pressure on the front office. You send that message to the media broadcasts that to the fans, and that puts the pressure on the front office in a way that simply communicating your thoughts does not.
And it's an easy cop-out because, he comes back and says, I never said I didn't love the Packers. I never said that. I just said I love football. You know what I mean, Key? I just love ball.
Yeah, and he wants people to talk about him and follow him, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, look at these. Maybe he's sitting back saying, look at these fools. I say pickaboo, and they think it's a ghost. I mean, like, come on.
Key, if you're Brian
Gutekunst,
if you're Brian Gutekunst, you have to be sitting there saying, what the hell else can I do? Like, I've retooled our O-line.
I don't even think he's worried about that.
I know, not being worried about it. Obviously, look, you win a Super Bowl. It actually fulfills your bet, right? Like, you bet on Aaron Rodgers that he gets the job done. But at the same time, like, in the back of your mind, you're always going to wonder a little bit about, like, is this guy satisfied? Like, will he ever be satisfied? What can I do on my end to help Aaron Rodgers be content? And I don't think there's anything Brian Gutekunst can do to help Aaron Rodgers be content, to be honest with you.
I'm trying to think of Tom Brady ever answering a question that way in the middle of a season when they have a chance to win a championship and all that.
It's also the tone. It's also the history.
The tone.
It's the tone.
It is.
I mean, everything is calm, and, you know, I just want to play ball, man. Everything's good.
Subtext, I just want to play ball and have everyone talking about me.
Just loving life, man. It's been great hitting the waves and just chilling back and having myself some cognac from time to time. And, you know, it's how you deliver it and everything. That's all it is.
Yeah, I just said a thing about Brady, and I'll stay to that. Aaron Rodgers is more talented. Aaron Rodgers should not be a comparison, but there is, and I grow increasingly convinced it has more to do with than just Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. He carries himself differently. I think his teams respond to him differently. Aaron Rodgers is an incredible player. But if I was a player on that team and the quarterback answered it that way, I'd have to think to myself, this dude, come on, man, we're trying to get something
done. No, because I know you, Max. Like, I know you. So if I'm in a locker room with you and you answer it, I'm like, man, I'm not.
Doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect on you because you know who the dude is.
Aaron Rodgers. What did you expect? I've played with people. People are like, man, can you believe? No. No. No, I don't. I cannot, because I know this fool, so I know what he is capable of doing. You know that one? Like, oh, man, Jay, can you believe so-and-so did that? No. No. Because he's a fool. This is what he does. Okay? And so you know that sort of stuff, even in the business that we're in. Hey, Max Kellerman said that Magic Johnson was the 9th best player in the NBA history.
What?
Of course. It's Max Kellerman. He's the same guy who said that Tom Brady was going to fall off a cliff, and the guy won 5 Super Bowls since.
Yeah, you can use a lot of counterexamples of awesome things I said, too, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
How would you counter that? That sounds like a direct shot towards
– It feels like it.
I just kept it in football family.
We got receipts.
I see what you did there.
We got receipts on all your stuff, too, Key. Don't worry about it. don't worry about it. Jay keeps a whole file box of receipts.
Trust me. I'm sure Jay does. In fact – he's downloading them on his computer.
Let me go ahead and look these up real quick.
Keyshawn, J. Will, alphabetize it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get to the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott got to clean up some stuff. The Cowboys would be sitting with me in the stands at the Super Bowl. You throw in the ill-advised picks late in the game because you don't even see the defender push it underneath the tight end on a crosser.
Obviously, we've got to do a better job of finishing on offense.
All right, guys. Here's Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan. Asked if Dak is in a slump. Here's his response.
I don't want to say that slump, but that's probably fair. But it's such a multifaceted evaluation. But I would say that our offense is definitely away from where we were playing 5 and 6 games ago.
All right. Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joins us now. Good morning, Clarence.
So, Clarence.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Chill?
What's up, man? Keith, rubbing it down, Bob.
Trying to figure out what your owner talking about with Dak Prescott, man. What's up with Jerry's in his comments?
Yo, come on. Jerry's going to be Jerry. A slump is a baseball term, and I don't know if a quarterback can go through a slump, but something's not right with Dak, and the Cowboys can't figure it out. They're coming up with all different kind of reasons. You know, Jerry said Dak's in a slump one day after Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore said he was in a slump and that he's healthy, but no one can figure out what's wrong with Dak in this offense. If you look at Dak and the Cowboys in the first 6 games, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions the last 6 games after missing 1 game with a calf strain, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and his offense has been awful the last 2 or 3 weeks.
But Clarence, we all know that, right? Like, we all watch Dallas Cowboy games. We see that he isn't exactly where he should be. I just don't understand the reasoning behind confirming that for other people, especially considering you won the game. right? Somebody's like, hey, is Dak in a slump? Is Dak where he needs to be for us to win a Super Bowl? Not yet, but we still won the game, and we found ways to win ugly. You see how easy that was to transition that? Like, you don't need to dig deep into this slump thing. That only gets into your player's head even more.
Well, I mean, that's from a coach and offensive coordinator standpoint, but Jerry's going to be Jerry. I mean, is this new? Is this a surprise? Jerry's going to say something that, you know, is probably not PC and what you want to hear, you know. But, you know, Jerry's also the man who paid Dak Prescott a four-year, $160 million contract in March, coming off a fractured leg, and actually Dak's getting $75 million this year.
So how much? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Clarence. I thought you were done. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, so at the end of the day, when things aren't right, and there are a lot of things that are not right. I mean, the problem with the Cowboys' offense is, you know, the running game, the offensive line. You know, when the Cowboys had it going good and Dak was playing well, they had the number one rushing attack in the league. Zeke has been hurt. He's probably going to be healthy all season. Tony Pollard is hurt. The running game is not going well, which is affecting what they're doing in the passing game. And, you know, again, when things are not going well, you expect your $40 million man to make up for that, don't you?
No doubt. When you get paid like you're elite, no one's trying to hear there's your because they have a lot of great stuff in a lot of areas. Even if they're deficient in other areas, you're supposed to make up for that. But how much of his inability to do so recently, and by the way, they've been winning, but how much of his inability to play better recently and the so-called slump have to do with his health, right? Like Dominique Foxworth brought this up. Was it Dominique or was it who brought this up? Maybe been Diana. I don't remember who brought it up earlier in the show already. But, you know, he was hurt. Then he comes back. And, you know, calf strain, like how much of it is just injury, do you think?
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense, you know, because nothing else makes sense because he had it going so well and was playing so well, was, you know, considered a viable MVP candidate, and it's like he's falling off a cliff. And the only thing you point to is that calf strain. And it's funny because you look at other guys, Randy Gerger had a calf strain and missed four games. Michael Gallup had a calf strain and missed almost seven games. Dak has a calf strain and missed one game. You know, I know all calf strain aren't the same, but make it make sense because he certainly is not playing the same level he was playing before. I don't know if it's messing with his mechanics or whatever else, but, you know, that's the only thing you can point to.
Mm. Clarence Hill. Oh, wait, which one is it? Dallas Fort. How do you say it, Clarence? Dallas.
The Fort Worth Star Telegram, sir.
Yeah, Fort Worth Star Telegram. You done switched around so many times. Joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I said, you know, I've been saying over the last, I don't know, several weeks, months, whatever you want to call it, that I put Dak Prescott in the same breath as Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, guys, Russell Wilson, guys that have already won a Super Bowl. And now that he's got the big contract, much like you said, you're paying him $40 million, you expect for him to do some of the same things that these guys have done. Yet he has yet to get there, but I have him with them. Where is he on your NFL quarterback hierarchy?
Well, I mean, clearly he's a top 10 quarterback when he's got it going. Well, he's not there yet. I think the difference is that, you know, I think number one, all big money quarterbacks are not created equal, okay? You know, I don't think that he's the magician that or the Superman that Patrick Mahomes is in certainly Aaron Rodgers is, and certainly, you know, no one's Tom Brady. He has to get paid like that because that's the going rate of quarterbacks. But Dak's style and the way he plays is not the same. He's not pulling a rabbit out of his hat like Patrick Mahomes. He's not that type of quarterback. He needs things around him, you know, to be right for him to be successful. One of the things that makes him great is his leadership and his consistency and his work ethic. But, you know, as far as, you know, a passer, he's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers, and he's certainly not Patrick Mahomes.
Clarence, we were talking a lot yesterday about Micah Parsons and where his rookie season ranks in history. How big has his addition to the team been on the defensive end?
I mean, defensive end, even linebacker. And that's one thing about when people talk about Micah Parsons being a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year and probably Rookie of the Year and being the first person to win Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year since Lawrence Taylor. Consider that this Cowboys defense was one of the worst in team history last year. They gave the most points in team history last year, the second most yards in team history last year. And right now they're the best part of this football team considering the slump on offense. But, you know, his numbers, his ability to play defensive end, play like a linebacker, be all over the field, you know, on pace to break Javon Kurse's rookie record for sacks in a season, and understand that he's not a full-time end. He's a linebacker. He doesn't rush regularly. If he rushed regularly, that sack record would always be broken if he played full-time in. You know, this guy is a rookie sensation, and no one saw this coming. You know, a lot of teams would have taken him higher in the draft if they knew he was going to be the player he's been. But you look at this Cowboys defense, transformation of this Cowboys defense, you point directly to Michael Parsons, the impact he's had on his defense. That's why you have to consider him for Defensive Player of the Year.
It's a good point.
Let me ask you this question, Chill. How much of a difference is he than, let's say, a young DeMarcus Ware?
Well, I mean, DeMarcus Ware was a straight pass rushing, you know, in linebacker, you know, outside linebacker pass rusher. This guy, you know, if you watch him, one play he's rushing a quarterback and knocking the ball loose. The next play, 30 yards down the field, almost getting an interception, you know, covering somebody down the field. I mean, his suddenness. I mean, for Ware is not as fast, was not as fast as he is. But certainly Ware was, you know, he's a Hall of Fame pass rushing defensive end, the bend that he has coming around the edge. And Ware has actually been one of the people that's been tutoring him in the offseason and with his pass rush skills. But they're different players, okay. You know, for sure. But this guy here, he's a dog. The Cowboys have not had a dog. You know, you follow, they have not had a dog on defense, a guy that wants to make all plays in a long, long time.
That's a great point. He's like, the comparisons to LT is because he can do everything. Michael Parsons is everywhere doing everything. And also drafted up high and already better than his draft position, which was high up. That is Clarence Hill Jr., ladies and gentlemen, Cowboys beat writer with a Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Thank you,
from
Clarence.
From a newspaper.
Peace, man.
Take care, brother.
Thank you, guys. All right.
So, guys, Steph Curry has the record for most threes in an NBA career now. And Jay asked it earlier, what's next?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Up top to Curry, quick release, and splash! There it is! The best shooter the game has ever seen has cemented his legacy. No one has made more threes than Stephen Curry. And when you consider he has many more years in his career, he might be setting a record that may never be broken.
Well, it'll be broken many times by Steph Curry. Every time he hits a three now, he's breaking his own record. The call on 95.7, the game you just heard. The Warriors reporter Nick Friedell is here, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Good morning, Nick.
Max, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you, too. So, you know what? Let's hear from Steph first. And you were there last night. I want to hear all about it. This is Steph on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on the relief and joy of breaking the three-point record.
Going into every arena and the other team knowing what the situation is and trying to slow it down. It was a long week for sure, but the joy of just this atmosphere, celebration of that moment. I'm so humbled that the Garden received it the way they did. The fans were just amazing. They let me have that moment and just get lost in it. And there's a lot of emotion for sure because I know how much work's gone into this and just, you know, dreaming big from the time I first picked up a basketball. So it's a special one for sure.
Nick, what we expect of Steph is crazy. Like a couple days ago, it was like, can he hit 17 threes and break the record? And then he didn't get that. It's like, what about 10? Can you get 10 threes in a game? But he was not hitting them at his normal clip, and he was shooting a lot. How much was this whole thing weighing on him up till that moment?
A lot. He was pressing, guys. I mean, that's the reality. As much as he tried to play it off, especially once we got into Philly and you started to see him miss shots he normally makes in Indy, he went, yeah, it's something that's on his mind. And it's something that was on everybody's mind in that organization. So the fact that he finally did it and the fact that he did it at the Garden, if he couldn't have done it in the Bay, this is where he wanted to be. And it was something that he's going to remember. And I think everybody, that sense of relief that he was talking about, it was palpable inside last
Nick,
night.
I have to ask you this, and I don't know why it took me 3.5, close to 4 hours to start putting this together. Because I felt the same way, right? Like, oh, he's pressing, right? There's like this pressure a little bit. Does that correlate to when there's pressure for him? It kind of makes you start wondering about that a little bit, right? Like, and look, I'm not trying to go down a road. Like, Steph is one of the most special players the game has ever seen. I've ever seen. The greatest shooter the game has ever seen. But it is interesting that correlation that when there's pressing and you feel him press, when you start getting to these moments that mean something to cement his legacy as one of the greatest clutch or greatest players to ever play, how he handles that pressure will be fascinating to watch considering what we just saw to a degree, right?
And Jay, I see where you're going, but I can tell you that everybody who's around him is convinced that when the moment is there for him, he's going to knock down those shots. And I know that's been a knock on him at times through the years, that in the bigger games, sometimes he's not hitting as many as we're used to seeing. But with this specific record, I think he had poured so many hours and years
more
into
emotionally,
it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was more emotional. Because a couple weeks ago, guys, we were talking to him after a game, and we're like, how would you put it into context what you're about to do? He's like, I'm not talking about it until I get there because I don't want to cry. And once he said that, we were kind of like, whoa, this one is different than anything else that's been put in front of him to date.
Hmm. Nick, with the amount of basketball left in Steph's career, I'm trying to calculate, I don't know, 500 games or whatever the number will be. How many more threes do you think he finishes his career with? What number do you think, if you could put a number on it?
I'd say 4,000, Key. And I say that because I've been listening to Draymond say the same number for the last couple weeks when it's brought up. So I think he's going to get somewhere above that mark. And once he does, he thinks he's going to put enough space between where he's at now and where he will eventually be. But what's so interesting to me, guys, is you go through the high schools, and Jay, you see this all the time. You go through the AAU programs. Everybody now is looking at Steph and what he's doing, and they're trying to emulate him. So he's got a generation worth of kids coming behind him who are stopping 30 feet on the floor and chucking it up and trying to knock down shots day after day after day. So he's teaching everybody who's coming behind him. But in the end, I think that number is going to be so far out of reach that nobody's going to touch it. Maybe ever.
Well, interesting.
They can try it all day long. They got to hit it, though.
Yeah, what's interesting about what you just said is as much as he's changed the game, no, because now kids are not going to come in shooting like he did, 5 or 6 threes a game. It's going to be 12 right away, right?
Exactly.
And eventually you're going to get another great player who plays for a long time who can really shoot. But at his volume, to hit the percent, like Trae Young is a great outside shooter, takes a million of them. But, like, you know, there are levels to this. Steph is hitting 43% on his career from out there. 43%. Is he the greatest shooter you've ever seen?
No doubt. Right. And I go back to asking Reggie Miller that exact question about a year ago, and he goes, he is. No question in his mind. So even the greats recognize that Steph, shooting-wise, is on a different level. And it's something that I don't think anybody within the Warriors takes for granted, because he puts in that time day after day after day. And I've been around that team now 3 years, and the coolest part to me is seeing after every practice, he goes through the same routine. KD went through the same routine.
Yeah.
Seeing those two on the same floor was really completely unfair. But seeing the process they go through is unbelievable.
By the way, Klay might shoot better than both of them. They're on the same floor with Klay.
Nick, is he the best shooter because of the depth of shots, or is he the best shooter because he pretty much can shoot from anywhere behind the three-point line?
Key, I think it's because of that distance that you're talking about. Because he can make shots from all over the place, but nobody consistently has been able to take and make the 30-footers, the 35-footers, the half-court shots. I mean,
Max, Lillard came in.
Exactly. He's the only guy who's in that realm. But think about the number that you just threw out there, and think about how many extra shots he's putting up at the end of quarters, trying to beat the buzzer. The guys don't even want to touch. They'll just let the shot clock run out or let the game clock run out.
I mean, right, that affects it negatively.
Absolutely.
And yet still he's shooting 43% on his career.
Still up at that number. So,
and getting his own shot, by the way.
Exactly.
And not as tall as like Reggie Miller, so his look is not going to be as good. It's like you can keep saying and with him.
There's always another reason that makes you understand why he is so great. And what's been fascinating talking to all these different greats of the game, Jerry West was saying the other day, the difference with Steph is not only can he make those shots from deep, he's making shots all over the floor because he's putting in the time to make it all work.
Before we let you go, when's Klay coming back?
It always felt like it was a little after Christmas. Now it feels like it might stretch into the beginning of January, but we're talking weeks now, not months.
It's going to be a problem. That gives him plenty of runway heading into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a problem. Nick Friedell, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Always, guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Fourth down and 6 from the 45 at Baltimore. Back to pass. Throws. Caught. Bateman got it. And the Browns stop him. A big hit by Denzel Ward. At the 45. And the Browns get the ball back.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, your podcast, the ESPN app. Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield has tested positive for COVID-19. Sources tell ESPN's Field Yates, Kimberly A. Martin, and Adam Schefter. Unless he produces two negative tests between now and Saturday, he's out against the Raiders. We talk about, like, this goes to the integrity of these seasons. That's why they had to postpone a couple of Bulls games. They postponed an NHL game because at a certain point, like, this has a big impact on the AFC North right now. The Browns' offense could be without Baker, the guard Wyatt Teller, their left tackle Jedrick Wills, receiver Jarvis Landry, and remember, again, there's no Odell on the team anymore. So it's not like, oh, Landry, you still have to – no, it's a huge – percentage of your talent at wideout. Tight end Austin Hooper, running back Kareem Hunt.
Jeez.
None of those players on Saturday. They could be without all of them on Saturday against the Raiders. Key, this is a huge game. And now this could have a big impact on the playoffs.
As it sits right now, right? I mean, it's pretty wild. They still have Case Keenum. Some people was thinking Case Keenum should get an opportunity to lead this team into a playoffs, potentially a division title. So he'll possibly get that opportunity. Although he'll be missing the tight end and the receiver and one of the backs, they still have some pieces in play. Higgins is still there as a receiver that could contribute. Peoples Jones is still there as a receiver who could contribute. But this is wild how we went through the majority of the season not having teams get hit or decimated to a point with COVID situations. It was always like one guy, maybe two. But this is like now all of a sudden it's important people being hit with it on teams.
Just happening at an alarming rate, right? Like it's the volume of it. I mean, I go back to the Bulls, the fact that 10 players were out. 10. I mean, it even started to fester within the Lakers organization. Like 3 to 4 guys out. You look at the Browns now, like it's happening once again. People are still traveling. It's just it's kind of crazy to navigate. And it brings back all that same anxiety that I had throughout this whole thing, man. Well,
by the way, yesterday on This Just In, there were some, you know, positive COVID cases to report. You know, it's This Just In throughout the course of the show. We're kind of breaking that whenever the news breaks. And Dan Graziano was there. And I made the mistake of saying, well, Omicron is, you know, he corrected me, thankfully, and said, no. Actually, of the however various many players he was discussing, there were only a couple cases of Omicron. So this is not just, hey, there's a new strain. This is also people, since they've vaccinated now, and people have fatigue with the measures that the way it's changed our society, right? Like the things you have to do, the masks, no one wants it. So people get lax. And now the virus spreads even when it's not some new strain. Like it's a mess right now. It's a mess. Oh, come on. Let's just talk about some football. I don't want to talk about this. We mentioned a coach who we think took notice of Sean McDermott's comments on Bill Belichick. Remember, McDermott was like, well, you know, can't give Bill too much credit and all this. Here's Bruce Arians, the Bucs coach, of course, on Brian Daboll and McDermott's game plan. And their use of Josh Allen, who got the only carries of the first half in the Bills' loss to the Bucs. Here's Arians.
He's more like Cam Newton, but with a bigger, stronger arm. And we talked about the design quarterback runs are tough. I wouldn't put my quarterback in that much harm's way because he did get nicked up a little bit, but they did a heck of a job with it.
Key, you noticed something interesting about this comment from Coach Arians.
Well, it's just his comment is just such that, you know, he's kind of taking a little dig at Sean McDermott. And I go back to the old coaching, you know, old coaches are old wise men, so to speak, right? Bill Belichick's been around for a minute. Bruce Arians has been around for a minute. Sean McDermott's been around, but not like that as a head coach. And he takes a shot at Belichick. Belichick takes a shot at him. And Bruce Arians is basically sitting back saying, no, don't worry about it. We got him next week, and I'll straighten him up. So he gets an opportunity to basically say, now, I wouldn't put my quarterback in harm's way that way. You know, is this – you so smart, you got your franchise quarterback, your $250 million quarterback, getting nicked up and banged up because you can't figure out how to run the ball without him. And this happens in the league. You know, they take care of each other. Young hotshot coaches and old coaches don't get along – because the hotshot guy knows everything, and the veteran guy usually, you know, beats him down and takes care of him. Coaching trees are so funny, man, how things work.
Like everything. By the way, this is all walks of life and professions. It's always the grizzled older guys who've been around the block a couple times, got the experience, the new hotshots. There's always a tension there. But that's interesting to me that Key J sees this as or hears it and thinks – what that really means is old coach fraternity taking care of each other, smacking down the young guys a little bit. I mean, I believe it if you tell me, Key. It sounds right to me.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, right? Because why else would Bruce Arians even be talking about Sean McDermott to begin with, right? Like, why would he be talking about the Bills?
Well, because he played them, and he didn't really mention Sean's name. He just subtly said.
But it's after the game, though, right, Key? You know what I mean?
Harm's way.
But you know, after, like, you know how coaches are, Key. Like, when a game is over, it's like, who's my next opponent? Who am I focused on next? Like, that's not like typical to revisit. Like, obviously, that was, I'm saying that to tell you, Key, I agree with you. Like, that was a direct shot.
Yeah, by the way, Key, curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious because you come to that through experience. So that means to me, at some point, you stop me if I'm wrong, you've been around a coach who said something and told you exactly why he was saying it or laughed about it with you or something.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Of course. So I've been with coaches that deliberately put game plans in to embarrass the other coach because he couldn't stand him based on the relationship he had with a prior coach that particular team and coach played against. So it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. I got this.
Yeah,
I'm going to take care of this for you.
See, that's not obvious to me that some coach from another team is going to take care of an older coach from. So you've witnessed that too. Like, oh, you've been around Parcells, a lot of guys.
Oh, I've been a part of it, so to speak. Where it's like, oh, okay, he thinks he's smarter. Okay, all right. I just played 19 holes. How many holes is it? 18. I just played 18 holes with so and so a couple 19. Weeks ago.
Key. It's fitting that you would say 19 holes because the 19th hole is definitely where you and my ass would be all the time.
He's playing 19.
You're always playing 19.
What's the 19th hole? Is it 19th or
18th? It's the bar. The 19th hole is the bar.
Going straight to the 19th hole.
Keyshawn,
6-8.
A bold prediction about the Bills' future from Key. That's tomorrow on KJM. Greeny's next.
Bing bang.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.